and the pizza's really good, but they played that song Bad Romance by Lady Gaga, and it's been in my freaking head all day. Rumma Gaga, ooh la la.
Watch your bad romance.
All right, guys.
It's really good, and it's like for $12 you get two great big slices and a drink. That's their special. And I treat myself every other week or so. I feel I'm worth it, right? I'm worth it. But hey, thanks to our guest last week, Steve Byrne. Jeff, did you go?
No, I didn't end up going.
Snowed out.
The show still went on, didn't it?
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about it being canceled.
Well, anyway, it was nice having him. We have a guest this week. Jeff, tell everybody who our guest is.
Alan Stair from the WKRP cast. He's doing a new show.
Yeah, he was on our... Well, how many times did we have them on? Once or twice?
I think he came on once or twice for WKRP cast, and then I think he came back briefly to promote the Severance podcast that he was doing. And then they ended up having him on the official Severance podcast with Adam Scott, I think.
So he really blew up, huh?
Right, yeah. Niche. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Good for him. You guys ready for the Super Bowl? Who you got? Who you rooting for in the Super Bowl? Dustin
Seahawks. Hill.
Seahawks. Seahawks. Lizzie?
The champs.
Who?
The champs.
Who are the champs?
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
The Patriots are the champs.
You don't care? You're not interested?
No, I don't care, but I do. I was saying, I do go to my sister's house and drink her beer and eat her snacks and make fun of things as I watch, but I didn't know until tonight who was playing in
I wish the Super I didn't Bowl. Know. Goddamn Patriots. Well, Lizzie wants the champs to win, and the rest of us want the Seahawks to win. And I really, really do not want the Patriots to win, specifically because, well, I like Mac Collins, but I also completely dislike Stephon Diggs because he used to be on the Bills, and I don't want him to get a Super Bowl ring. He's a jerk. I don't like him.
I don't like him.
I don't like him. Damn it. Drake May, plenty of time. Josh Allen needs a Super Bowl. Super Bowl ring. But I am still going to make the little cocktail weenies in the slow cooker.
Nice.
Everybody's going to have a little party at their house. Dustin, you, Jeff?
No.
No, probably not.
Yeah,
no.
I'll go to my sister's house and eat her snacks.
Okay. And Jeff, what are you going to do? Make some popcorn, a little bologna?
I'll just be under the ice in Lizzie's pool.
No, that's right. And not a big Super Bowl house, Dustin. You're not going to watch.
No, I'll check the internet just to make sure the Patriots lose. But I care more about that just rather than Seahawks win. I mean, it'd be cool if Seahawks won. They haven't had the honest times going to it. For the Patriots, just seems like more of the same machine.
Yeah. I mean, the commercials are fun though.
Yeah, there's an article that came out today. It used to be you had to wait until the game, and now they're out already. But there was an ad. Not an ad. There was an article in TVLine.com that had the top five. And I haven't watched all of them, so I can't judge them against the other ones, but they were all pretty good.
That Neil Diamond one's funny.
Yeah. Do you think? Now, the Neil Diamond one is what? It's Andy Samberg singing about Hellman's mayonnaise in a restaurant. And you have this little baloney that's talking. Do you think that they asked Will Ferrell first, since he was famous for playing that character on SNL?
I don't know.
Still, Andy Samberg was one. I do think the number five was William Shatner's commercial for Raisin Bran, which I think that should have been number one because it was funny.
Super. I haven't seen that one.
A lot of shit puns in this. So many shit puns that Eric wouldn't play it. Number four, the Hellman's ad with Ellie Fanning and, or is it L? I never get it right. And Andy Samberg, that one was pretty good. Instacart, did you see that one? Did you watch that one?
Mm-hmm.
With Ben Stiller and Benson Boone?
Yeah. I think there's like a whole series of that.
Well, I'd never seen it. I was watching it in the hall walking back after a break, and I burst into laughter. Yeah, Comcast one, that's okay.
Jurassic Park one?
Yeah.
Shows what would have happened if they all had a great weekend at Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
If the, yeah, that was it's funny. It's a spectrum one, so if it worked, Comcast, yeah. Everything just turned back on, all the gates closed.
Right.
Everything worked. And they de-aged them.
Yeah, they did de-age them.
Yeah.
And the trouble with that is you can still tell that they're old. In the number one Taika Waititi's Pepsi commercial with the bear, they're, you know, getting the polar bear. But I don't understand it because it still makes you think of Coca-Cola.
How did they do that without any kind of legal ramifications?
I guess because you can't trademark a polar bear.
Yeah,
I guess.
I don't know. But it'd be like having Burger King doing an ad with Ronald McDonald in it.
Yeah.
You're just thinking about the other. Huh?
Kind of, yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm excited for it. The thing about the Super Bowl that's driving me crazy this year is you have all the political crap, you know, about the halftime show, which I think, as always, is fake to drum everything up. It's going to be Bad Bunny and a couple other people. I never watched the halftime show. I don't care about it. It's too long. I'm not interested. I just want to watch the game. But then there's counter programming.
Puppy Bowl.
Well, no. Like, not Puppy Bowl. I like that stuff. Oh, Talking Points USA is having it, like Kid Rock and then a couple of country singers. I'm not interested in that either.
Yeah.
I saw a funny, I think it was that one of the funniest people that's still left on X, that's sort of a troll, but is really funny. He's very, very funny. He always trolls people and he usually gets people. 4-year Letterman is his name. I think he's a Georgia guy because he roots for Georgia. But he was like, oh, no, I never thought I'd see the day where there were two Super Bowl halftime shows I didn't want to watch. So I thought that was pretty fun. So we did happen to lose some really big names over the last couple of days. The biggest one being on Friday, we came to work. I went to work and I found out that Catherine O'Hara had passed. I didn't know she had been ill.
Yeah, they kept it pretty quiet. Yeah.
I don't think many people knew.
Her last public appearance had been in September at some award show. Was it the Emmys?
Yeah, that photo that's going around. She didn't look good then.
She looked frail.
Frail.
Yeah. But all of us basically just grew up with her. Mm-hmm. Once we discovered her in SCTV, if you happen to be up late at night or your parents let you stay up. And 1 o'clock rolled around and SNL was over. It's like, what's this show? Oh, my God. And she was fantastic in that. And, of course, all the movies she did where she was great. You know, Beetlejuice, Home Alone, Home Alone 2.
Best in Show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All the,
oh, gosh. Those were awesome.
Especially as, what was her name, Cookie?
Yeah.
In Best in Show.
And I just thought she was the prettiest thing that I'd ever seen, and she was there with somebody else. She was very popular back then. She had dozens of boyfriends.
Hundreds.
Hundreds.
Yeah, hundreds.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they just had the Westminster Dog Show, and they did a memorial for her as that character.
Well, that movie made a lot more people interested in it than were prior to that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's still a crime that Fred Willard never got nominated because he's so funny in that. Everybody's great in it, but his character is very interesting.
I had to think, when you look at how beautiful these dogs are, that in some countries these dogs are eaten. I told my proctologist once, hey, why don't you take me out to dinner and a movie sometime, you know?
Yes, I remember you said that last year. Yes.
Yeah.
I never really knew. She did Sally in the Nightmare Before Elm Street, which I didn't know.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah. I'm sorry. What did I say? The Nightmare
Before? Nightmare Before Elm Street.
That would be a good parody, The Nightmare Before Elm Street.
I didn't realize that she started in at Second City as a waitress.
Yeah.
Really? That's pretty cool.
Her and her sister, I think.
Yeah.
Her characters on that show were great. The Brooke Shields. Or she'd just play anybody. She was so funny. She and Andrea Martin were super talented. So everybody's just kind of going away. Another character that we grew up with on TV was Lamont Sanford. Lamont Sanford being Fred Sanford's son, the junkman in Los Angeles. Sanford and Son. Grady DeMond Wilson, who went...
From the New Odd Couple.
Yes. He did a lot of things, but he was from Valdosta, Georgia. He passed away. There's some really good interviews with him talking about the show and talking about what happened. And it's like these young guys interviewing him, thinking they know everything about him. And he's just kind of scolding him. Now, listen, I was very much close in age to Fred or to Red Fox. But he gave a lot of insight into that show. That Odd Couple show was good. Who was the other one? Ron Glass, right? Was Felix. Yeah. That was pretty good as far as adaptations go. I like it better than the one that CBS had, which ran for, what, a couple seasons?
Yeah.
The one with Matthew Perry.
Yeah.
But just growing up thinking, you know, Lamont Sanford, Damon Wilson's character, was cool. And he became a minister, a Christian minister, and wrote a lot of books and stuff. And tried to get his memoir. And then I guess this was on Monday, Chuck Negron passed away from Three Dog Night.
Which is insane that he had the life he had and made it to that age.
80, I think.
83.
Yeah.
He had a huge heroin problem when he was younger, to the point of death a few times. Yeah.
And all those hits they had, they were fun songs. They were fun songs, indeed. So, you know, we don't normally do this like we used to do the Who Died segment, but that's three big names. Three big names. Did you guys all watch A Night of the Seven Kingdoms this week?
Oh, yeah.
Got me wanting a breakfast sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sandwich looked good.
It looked
awesome. I made a breakfast sandwich last night because of it.
Did you go get goose eggs?
Well, they're regular chicken eggs, but...
So I thought the point of that was that the little kid, what's his name?
Egg
was going to hide his identity through the whole show, but he revealed it at the end of this episode.
Yeah, he had to save Dunk.
Yeah, that's true.
The way I looked at it is he valued Dunk's life over his own freedom at that point.
Does anyone know the backstory? We should call our friend Lisa. I never know the backstory to these things. I'm going to have to. Jeff, you got the book, right?
Yeah, I haven't really gotten into it yet, though.
The backstory of what?
Why he was hiding, and I guess I don't know who the king is right now. Is that little kid the Mad King?
No. His son is the Mad King.
Yeah.
So the son of the little kid is going to end up being the Mad King.
Yes.
Okay, that's how
far. And his granddaughter is the Queen of Dragons.
Daenerys.
I can't remember is it Aeron? Who's the brother that broke Tansel's fingers in this episode?
Yeah, who was that?
I know he wasn't treated well by him. Mm-hmm. He would come into his room and threaten to cut his wiener off.
Please, cut it off! Cut it off! Cut it off!
And make him his sister so he could then marry him.
Wiener.
So, I mean, that's maybe one reason why he's trying to get away. I don't know. Then his other brother that we met at the beginning was an absolute drunk who was supposed to be taking care of him and wasn't.
All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we have our guest, Alan Stair, will be joining us to talk about his show, Hello Carol, which is a new podcast about the Apple TV show Pluribus. Radio Labyrinth is also brought to you by The Punchline. Tucked inside the legendary Landmark Diner, The Punchline remains Atlanta's longest-running premier comedy nightclub, where you can get a huge slab of cake or pancakes to satisfy any cravings you have while you're laughing. Coming up, February 5th through the 7th, it's Brian Simpson. Valentine's Day weekend, take your date and enjoy a live comedy show headliner to be announced. No idea who that's going to be yet, Jeff. Live comedy show headliner.
Jose Sardoui.
The 20th through the 21st, it's Sugar Sammy, who's very funny. And February 26th, it's T. Sanders. And John Heffron rounds out the perfect February, by the way. February 27th, John Heffron at the Punchline. Hey, Patreon members, keep an eye out for our weekly post offering you a chance to win a pair of passes to an upcoming show. Go to punchline.com and check out all the shows. Our guest this week, who we've had on the podcast a couple of times before, is Alan Stair, the voice behind the WKRP cast and the Severed podcast. Alan is set to drop a new podcast this week that you should all subscribe to, especially if you're fans of Pluribus. It's based on the super popular Apple television show, and it's called Hello Carol, and the first episode is available now wherever you get your podcasts. Alan, welcome to the show.
How you guys doing?
Good. How are you? Nice to see you.
Hey, how you doing? Long time no see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want to wear out my welcome. Check in like every 5 or 6 years, you know.
Is that how long it's been? It feels like, I can't believe this is the 11th year of the show.
Yeah, we started the WKRP cast in the fall of 2020.
Yes. So
we talked to you guys either that fall or early 21, because we had just started, and you were wanting to talk to us about WKRP, and we really didn't know anything about it, because we were only a few episodes into the podcast. We are now amazing experts on WKRP.
You
want to know about WKRP. Okay.
How many people are still around from that show? There has to be some.
Well, we talked to, over the course of doing the podcast, 22 different folks who were either producers, writers, a couple of guest stars that were on individual episodes. And then we ended it up, our last interview, we talked to Gary Sandy.
Wow.
Andy Travis. So that was pretty huge. Unfortunately, a lot of Gary's time the last few years has been taken up going to funerals of other cast members. Frank Bonner passed away, and Johnny Fever, Howard Hessman passed away, Lonnie Anderson just recently, and Gary doesn't fly. So when one of these folks passes away, he hops in the car and heads out from the farm there in Kentucky and goes wherever, all over the country.
Well, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Is Tim Reed still? Is Tim Reed still?
Yeah, he's still.
Okay, good.
Tim Reed's still alive. We think that Les Nessman is still alive, but it's really hard to get in touch with Les. And his real name is eluding me right now off the top of my head. I can't think of it. But
Jeff?
Richard Sanders.
There you go.
Richard Sanders, thank you. Yes, there we go. So Richard Sanders has become very, very reclusive in the last 15 years, 18 years, something like that. He did an interview in 2010, I believe, that we found in a newspaper up in Washington. And he was somewhere, we think, around the Seattle area, but very quiet. I did find a woman. She was a guest star on one of the episodes who had dated Richard when he was in New York before coming to L.A. and getting on WKRP. And she had some stories, and we were all ready to interview her. And about a week, 10 days later, she got in touch with us and said, I'd really rather not be interviewed in anything that I've said. I'd rather not have it related. She said, in deference to Richard, I know he's been very, very private, you know, the last few years. So she didn't want to interfere with that, but she had some good stuff. Wow. I told her I won't talk about it. I'm not gonna let it go. So
well, you can put that in your book when everybody passes
someday, when they're all gone. So we found the guy. I don't know if you remember the episode I Want to Keep My Baby, where a mother drops her baby off at the station. Yes. And Johnny kind of fosters the kid. The kid's in the credits. So we're watching it, and I looked at Donna. I said, do you think we could find him? We did. He's out in Arizona. And got in touch with him, and he was really super, super guy. He said, I don't remember anything about that, but you ought to talk to my mom.
Yeah.
Well, his mom is Lori Opendon. She was the casting director for Rhoda at the time, and she was a new mother. She sat right next to the woman who was the casting director for KRP. And she said, I was told, hey, we're going to use your baby in one of the shows. So she brought him in. Lori Opendon went on to be the casting director on some of the biggest hits, ER, Friends. I mean, she just retired recently and did a 6-hour interview for the Museum of Radio and Television, recounting her career. So this guy, he called us up, her son, and he said, you ought to call mom. Here's her number. So we wound up talking to Lori Opendon. We found Casey Petrowski, the guy that wrote the contest Nobody Could Win, which is the episode where Johnny gives away the $5,000 when it's supposed to be $50. so just had a blast talking to all these people. We talked to Tom Wells' widow. He was the music director and the guy that wrote the theme song and did all the interstitial music and everything in the show. His wife did a guest shot as a waitress in one of the early episodes, one of the first season episodes. We tracked her down in Atlanta and had an interview with her. So, I mean, just some phenomenal people. Everybody was so excited to talk about the show, you know, the fact that, you know, it's been 40 years, and to have somebody interested in it, I think a lot of them were kind of flattered by that.
They should do a show now, and then it would just be a robot in a studio. Yeah. Well, I work in radio.
They kind of did that. The Christmas episode, the third season.
Yeah.
Carlson eats some of Johnny's laced brownies, and he passes out in his office, and he has the dream, and the ghost of Christmas future is Johnny, who comes to see him, and he takes him to the station a few years in the future. Herb's the only one working there now, and Herb doesn't even cold call anymore. He just punches a button, and the computer calls another computer.
Yeah. That's pretty much what it is.
And the entire station's automated. Everybody's gone. So, yeah, they had it predicted there back in 81.
Well, let's talk about Hello Carol, which is a great name, the Ultimate Pluribus podcast. Now, they had their own running during the show. I guess HBO makes their own and everything. But I always like the fan ones the best. Apple did? Okay, why did I say HBO? I'm tired. I've been up all day. I get up at 5:30. Anyway,
the Apple one wasn't like a recap show either. It was just like them chatting with each other.
Okay. The fan ones are always the best ones.
Well, there was one in between. I did
the Severed podcast.
Podcast, which is another Apple TV property. And the Severed podcast, I did that without Donna. Donna was on, my wife was on the WKRP cast. So when I thought, okay, it's going to be one guy talking about this show, I better have something. So I really started researching that one. And I kind of came up with this, I don't know if you'd call it a style, a way of approaching telling the story, where basically I just go shot for shot for shot through the entire show with commentary, backstory, information about the actors, information about where they're shooting. If they mention something historical or geographical, I'll break that down and explain where it is or what it is. And the Severed podcast blew up big. I was having fun. This is my hobby. I'm retired from radio, from advertising. This is just something I do for fun. This Severed podcast all of a sudden got really big. I was getting, large audience every week. I got approached by servers about putting it on a monetizing server where now ads are running in it. I'm getting 0.4 cents per exposure or whatever it might be. But that really kind of rocketed me forward. I've got this base of folks on Patreon that are fantastic supporters. And this style of this Ultimate podcast kind of caught on. It's not for everybody. Some people listen to it and go, I could never listen to that. Other people are hooked on it, love it, and like the style of it. I started doing some movies that were origins that they influenced Dan Erickson, who's the writer and creator of Severance. So I have had people over the course of the time doing the Severed podcast saying, you got to do Fallout the way you do the Severed podcast, or do, Silo. They really wanted me to do Silo. I was getting their emails all the time to do Silo. I don't think there was enough there with Silo. And for me, Fallout is just, I like Walton Scoggins. I like him a lot, but it was too gooey. There's too much gross stuff in Fallout. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to watch it. And when I do one of these, I go back and watch the episode probably 30 times to go through and do what I'm doing with the writing and with the preparing and getting each script ready for a podcast. I don't want to look at all that goo and grossness in the episode. But I watched Pluribus, the first two episodes, and I had people sending me notes last November. You got to do Pluribus. You got to do Pluribus. You got to do it the way you do Severed. And I watched the first two episodes, and I had that same sense of wow that I felt when I watched Severance. Pluribus just grabbed me. And I'm like, I love the storytelling. I love the structure. I love the protagonist that's the curmudgeon. Ray Seahorn is fantastic. She can carry those solo scenes, it blew me away. And I thought, okay, is there enough here? And I started kind of looking at outlining an episode and seeing, what was there to talk about. Turns out there's a lot there. I've got the first episode done. It's 53 minutes. The episode itself, as it aired, I talk about it for 3.5 hours. So there's some detail in there.
Yeah. That show, the people absolutely love that show. And it is one of those shows. I didn't know what to expect. I knew it was going to be good because it was Vince Gilligan. And like yourself, I watched those first two episodes and I was immediately hooked. And I don't have that luxury anymore when it comes to TV. It's very rare. Since you were last on our show, I now have a 4.5-year-old. So, that takes up quite a bit of time, especially when you're in your 50s. But
yeah,
the time you have to watch things, you want to watch things that you really like. And of course, I go back and watch things that I've already seen before. But Pluribus was just one of those shows. And I didn't waste time the first time I watched it trying to figure everything out. I just wanted to let it all kind of unfold. But I've watched the episodes again. And I think there's a lot I want to figure out. So hopefully, I see myself listening to a 3-hour podcast about an episode.
And a lot of depth, a lot of detail. Yep. I remember, you know, I got into it like I was down with some COVID, and I watched the first two episodes sick, and I watched them again after I was better, thinking, were they really as good as I thought they were, or was I just sick? And they were. And I found myself, this is telling, when I would get that little notification every week from Apple TV saying there's a new episode of Pluribus, I'd be like, all right, I'm 61. You don't get that little thrill anymore about things.
No.
Just, you know, you're not, nothing like that. But that did. I was like, and that taught, that told me, yeah, I want to talk about this. I can talk about this. And it has been just so much fun going back through rewatching and reworking and doing the work on these episodes.
You guys have any questions?
Yeah, you're going to do just one really long episode per episode of the show? Or are you going to break them up into different, like, part one, part two, part three?
Yeah, my personal philosophy is, if you're willing to stay with me for an hour, I'm not going to tax any more of your time than that.
Right.
So I try to keep them at about an hour. And a lot of people have said that they wait. They save up. Like if I do an episode of multiple parts, I'll wait until all the parts are done and listen to them all back to back to back because they want to hear the whole long thing. I try to keep them about an hour to an hour 15. I have three parts. I've got the on February 5th, and I've got the 5th, 12th, and 19th are already done. And and that is episode one, the pilot episode, those first 3 weeks. So yeah, it'll be broken up. And some of the episodes, not as full of stuff. You know, you get to some of them where there's a lot of visual that does not require a whole lot of description. So I'm sure some of them are going to be shorter, but and that pilot was just loaded with stuff.
Oh yeah,
a ton of information in there.
And yeah. Are there any cast members that you might try and reach out to?
I have not done that, and really was not doing that so much with the Severed podcast. But I had a listener get in touch with me, start providing me with some information, and then kind of I started referring to him as you know, volunteer researcher and volunteer producer, guy out of Atlanta who was just a listener to the show, who started kind of working as a producer and started tracking down people involved with Severance, the, you know, that were involved primarily, we were looking at crew people, but we talked to the sound guys, we talked to the woman that was graphic designer, lead graphic designer on the show, and that was all him tracking that down. I'm a one-man show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really pressed to do the research and the writing and the production on the podcast episodes, and mine is not really an interview show, and you guys know there is a lot involved with setting up interviews and getting them coordinated and getting them, you know, to make sure that they show up when they say they're going to be there. So I haven't taken that on. If anybody were to want to contact me from Pluribus that's involved that wants to talk, that would be amazing. I did have a woman actually reach out early on with Severed. She had been the COVID compliance officer at York Studios there in the Bronx, where they were shooting all of the in the Severed floor shots. All of those scenes were shot there at those studios. She was the one doing COVID compliance and swabbing people's cheeks as they would come in and out. So she saw everybody, crew, stars, everybody involved with the show, and was a listener to the podcast. So I interviewed her. She was a fantastic interview, and has really become a friend of the show over the years, and has contacts with other people involved in the cast and crew, and has shared some of those. She always goes to them and says, hey, I know this guy has a podcast, would you want to be on it? And, you know, we kind of make contact that way. So that's kind of how a lot of those have evolved. I really didn't reach out necessarily, but kind of had somebody come to me, which makes it a lot easier.
They ended up having you on the official Severance podcast.
I do this in a spare bedroom, so all this stuff just seems like a dream, you know, going to Cincinnati with the KRP cast. And then one morning I open up my email, and there in the Severed email is a note from the producer on the official Ben Stiller, Adam Scott Severance podcast. And he said, "Hey, Alan, just wanted to drop you a note. Ben and Adam are big fans of your podcast," which about made me fall out of the chair. "And we would love to have you on with them." Well, this is in January of 24, I think. I kind of lose track since the WKRP cast. It's been a fast ride. But it was shortly after they brought back or they brought on their official podcast only for the second season. They didn't have one for the first season, and then they kind of realized how important that was to have to support the show. So when the second season started, that's when they started their podcast. Well, they got in touch with me. The second season dropped in November. They got in touch with me in January, wanted to have me on the show. Well, we were coming down to the end of the season. They were doing one episode per season and hadn't gotten in touch with me. And I dropped a note to the producer. I said, "Are we still going to do this?" He's like, "They definitely want you on. They definitely want you on." And then didn't get on. And then they said, "This is it. We're finishing up. All done." Well, after that one, I got a note from the producer. Said, "Okay, hang in there. They're going to come back, do some more episodes towards the summer. They definitely want to have you on then." And I'm thinking, okay, this is fading away. This is probably not going to happen. But they had sent me in the initial email a recording of Adam Scott saying, and he was at the front half of it promoting my podcast. And then he said, "And also make sure to check out the official podcast." So I played the full promo once, but then I cut out his part promoting mine, and I've been using it for a bumper ever since. So I've got Adam Scott on. And then that summer, they did finally get me on. We had a great interview, talked for like 45 minutes. Ben was in a studio in New York. Adam was in his house in L.A., and I was in a bedroom in Missouri. And so I had Ben do a bumper as well. So now I have Adam Scott and Ben Stiller both doing bumpers. I've got Dan Erickson's sister doing a bumper. She's a big fan of the podcast, and I've been trying to get her to record Dan, but Dan's press people won't let him do it. So I haven't gotten him, but I've got her, but got Adam and Ben. So I finally got on with them that summer. We talked for like 45 or 50 minutes. It was a great interview. They used about 11 minutes of it, and it did get me a big bump in listenership on the podcast. A lot of people kind of found my podcast through that. So that was pretty cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah. I started a Patreon page, which is kind of, the thing you're supposed to do if you're a podcaster. And I started having these people showing up, giving me money every month. It's like, wow. So they're like my sounding board. They're my proofing. They listen to the podcast before they go out to the general public. And these guys have been really fantastic. And they're from around the world. The only thing bringing them all together is this love of the show Severance. But man, do they have some fantastic insights and some unique perspectives on things. I'm currently working on, I've got another episode of the Severed podcast dropping where I'm doing, and what I call them origins episodes, where I go back through movies and TV shows that influenced Dan Erickson. I'm working on a breakdown of Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Well, I put up a proof of that. The first of it drops tomorrow, too, the first part of it. I put up a proof of it, and I said, "You can't find this streaming anywhere." Well, one of my listeners who's in Spain said, "If you're on the Filmin site in Spain, it's free there. It's streaming there." So I had a notification for international listeners. But, yeah, it's just amazing that and also the fact that the World Wide Web and social media and all these things have allowed these kind of immediate interactions, where it used to be performers or people that you would listen to on the radio, where they were kind of distant. They, you didn't have access to them. You'd write a fan letter and maybe hear something back, 6 weeks later. But now it's just immediate, having this contact through Facebook and the email addresses with each of the podcasts.
You're absolutely right about that, because I do a pop culture show on the weekends in Atlanta on the station I'm on, and I get a lot of solicits for, "Hey, there's a TV show that's on or whatever. It's a reality show. Do you want to do, you get 10 minutes tops?" And I'm like, "All right, I might do that and drop it in." But then I have another publicist who knows I like to do long form. So I'll get, as long as I want. And then I can cut it up however I like. And the thing I can't do anymore is the movie promoters. They want you to go do the thing where everybody goes to one location and the person's sitting there and they don't, they're not, you can't deviate. Like the last one I did was with the guy who plays Captain America now. He's a nice guy. I like the Marvel stuff, but I went and I had a question that deviated a little bit, and he just went, he couldn't roll with the punches. You know what I mean? So
he started to say the canned one that he'd been saying times before you.
But he brushed it off. I mean, he was skillful in evading it. But I guess the point of that is when we find guests to come on here, we can talk to them for as long as we want, and within reason, and that whole radio thing where you're doing, and you've been in radio, so you know, you do that 10-minute thing. All right, well, watch my new show tonight. Good talking to you. I'm on to the next radio station. The podcasts offer you that ability to just, connect one-on-one. Usually you can see people, and I think that's what people want to hear. Or Joe Rogan wouldn't have people listening to three-hour interviews with people. You know what I mean?
Well, and Mark Maron, who just recently...
Same thing, yes. Long show.
He was. You sit down with Maron, you're there for a day. Go for a long time.
And it doesn't get boring.
Got deep. He got deep.
Yeah.
Oh, to tell everyone where they can find it and where socials. All your socials are and everything. Yeah.
And your Patreon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the Patreon... I've got two now. I started a second Patreon for Hello Carol. It's Severed Pod, patreon.com/severedpod or Hello Carol Pod. And a lot of my patron refiners from Severance have been so fantastic that when I started the Pluribus, there were a lot of them that were fans of both that wanted to come across, and I wanted to give them some kind of a discount. So if you're a patron refiner on the Severed side, you get $1 off per month on the Hello Carol side, on the Pluribus side. If you're just coming on for Pluribus, it's $5 a month is the and it's patreon.com/HelloCarolPod is cool. That Pluribus page. So yeah, and you can find the podcast anywhere and everywhere. We're on Apple Podcasts. If you go on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating and review, that kind of thing.
Yeah, please do.
Trying to get on that new and notable page. I've never done that before. I want to get on the new and notable page on Apple Podcasts. So, so coming out on the 5th, and I'm going to be covering the entire first season of Pluribus.
So everybody check that out, and also check out the previous podcast as well.
Make sure you have watched all of Severance, because spoilers everywhere.
Spoilers. You don't have to worry about WKRP. It's a situation comedy. You'll be fine. Yeah. WKRP cast. But check it out if you're a fan of that show. It's really fun. Alan, thank you for taking time to come on, and we encourage everybody to go check out Hello Carol, which is
available. And tell Donna we said hi.
Yeah.
Yes, please. All right. Sure will. Check out the podcast, and hopefully I'll talk to you guys again before 5 years.
Well, we hope so. All right.
Thanks, Alan.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Alan.
Bye.
So everybody, check it out. Alan is a great guy. That's such an interesting thing to happen when you have a passion for a show like WKRP in Cincinnati, and he makes it.
He does such great deep dives. I think I'm really looking forward to this. I think it's going to be more informative than the official podcast, because that was just like a bunch of actors and producers sitting around jerking each other off. It wasn't any kind of discussion of the show.
Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by Atlanta Pizza in Euro, your local family-owned pizzeria and the place to get local craft beer and great food that's always made fresh to order. They're open Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturdays from 12 to 9, and they are closed on Sundays. Now, I've been trying to explain to my son why Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays, but he's not getting it. Why would they want to stay with their families? The food truck is once again on winter break, but probably in early March, it'll come out of break. Give us a call if you have a corporate or private event that you're interested in possibly booking. As always, we thank you for your continued support and for listening to the absolute best podcast around, Radio Labyrinth. We're also brought to you by LDI Repro Printing. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Sure, we all do. Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005, which, if you're like me and good at math, is 20 years. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366, or you can email them at athens@ldi.com. line.com. Let's do staff picks real quick.
Mine's the Kevin Nealon stand-up special. It's on YouTube. It's called Loose in the Crotch.
Is it good? I haven't seen it yet.
It's very funny.
When was the last time he did one?
I think it's been a couple of years.
Has he ever done one?
I mean, it's probably been more than a couple of years, right?
Yeah. It's been a very
long. I don't know when his last one was.
I mean, I remember the last one I remember is like HBO era.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've only seen him do stand-up one time, and he was very funny. I mean, he's a very funny guy. He's very good at improvisation, and I think he's one of those guys that had to teach himself how to be a stand-up comedian, right?
That makes sense.
He started in improv.
Yeah.
Like, John Lovitz wasn't ever able to do it.
He's on the Pete Holmes podcast. The hell's the name of that? You made it weird.
Made it weird, yeah.
That's a good podcast. He's on that this week, too.
I love Kevin Nealon.
Yeah.
I love him.
He's cool. I got to get caught up on, I can get back into podcasts because now that I'm done with the audiobook. Speaking of audiobooks, you know, I'm not going to listen to the one with me because I'll just hate it. I mean, I like the story and I know the story, but I don't want to listen to myself.
Good promotion, Tim.
No. I really like the story. I like the story. I'm not just saying it because I did the audiobook. I really think the story is interesting. And Dustin, you've said that you found it interesting. So, yep. And you posted have you started the new one?
I'm trying to finish up the one I'm doing right now. I got another day on it, but I'll start it this weekend.
No, we're going to have Scott A. Young, the author of Fabricants and Selfies, which was the first book. He's going to be on next week for a little bit, and we're going to talk to him. And he is my cousin, so we're not going to talk about family stuff. I don't want any family secrets revealed. Like the time he threw a stick in the toilet and it jammed up, and my granddad got mad. So he'll be on the show. Everyone check out Kevin Nealon's special, Loose in the Crotch. You guys have some? I have one this week, actually, but if you guys have some, go ahead.
I still building the 4K collection. I got Lost Highway this week, David Lynch.
I gotta watch that. Mm-hmm. Oh.
It's so good. Bill Pullman, Balthazar Getty, Patricia Arquette, and Robert Blake.
Robert Blake, who killed his wife and got away with it.
Yeah, but probably, well, he killed his wife like, what, 4 or 5 years after this movie?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I think this was the last thing he did before he killed his wife.
After he allegedly killed his wife, I bought an autograph of his off of eBay. It just says, keep on punching, Robert Blake.
But yeah, it's a 4K version, and it looks really good.
I've only seen it once. I got to watch it again.
Oh, you haven't seen it? You've only seen it one time?
Mm-hmm. Years ago. Man,
the soundtrack for it. I played that thing to death. It was just a great soundtrack of like mid-90s.
Oh. It's a great movie, but not as good as What Did Jack Do? You've seen that, right? What Did Jack Do?
Mm-hmm. The monkey.
Yeah, it's a short that.
Oh, yeah.
That he made, and it's on Netflix. It may not be anymore, I don't know, but it was. And it's just him interviewing this monkey who's in love with chickens, and I find it fascinating. You should watch it, Lizzie. It's only like 15
Sounds minutes. Fascinating.
Yeah. I think it's still on Netflix.
Well, I have something I've been watching, and it is lame, but it's really fun. So Hulu put the entire wife swap series. Yeah. And it's so funny because you watch the earlier episodes and like the narrator's way more unhinged than like the later episodes. So like when she's not spending her nights gambling away the family money, she's in bed and she would rather her children starve than go into the kitchen. That's not real. That's not true, but it's really fun to watch. We've been turning that on at night.
I discovered this on TikTok, and then I went to her YouTube channel. Her name is Rita Gigante, and she has either New York or New Jersey accent. I think New Jersey. She's Italian, of course. And she cooks. She talks about, you know, she talks like that. She's got all the, you know, the little, you know, the vocal tics, the vocal, you know, you do the thing and you make the, you know, the gravy, all right? You put the brajol in there. And I, knew the last name, and I did research on her. And she's the daughter of Vincent the Chin Gigante, who was one of the New York mobsters. And I mostly listen to it because I just like her voice. And I there's something relaxing to me about that northern New Jersey or that New York Long Island accent.
Interesting.
It's not for everyone. And I also, there's a bunch of, if you're a big fan of Catherine O'Hara and you never watched SCTV, there's tons of that. There's SCTV playlists all over YouTube, and you can just pop one on and enjoy it. Hey, before we go, I want to remind you that you can become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member. How about that? Radio Labyrinth listeners, you radios, you can support us for the low, low cost of $5 a month. Only $5 a month. That's it. That's the only tier moving forward. You can keep it where it was before or lower it to $5, whatever you want to do. And this is aside from the executive producers. If you're paying more and want to reduce it, go ahead. Tariffs are hitting us hard. No, they're not. I mean, they're beautiful. The economy's great. And for anyone on the fence or looking to support us, make sure you add your address to the Patreon profile so we can get it and mail you a thank you letter and our latest sticker. And for the executive producers, we'd love to have you join us as guests on Radios in the Dark. So far, we've had Mike Hall from Atlanta Pizza in Euro and another special guest coming up soon. But it's your show, and you help us keep it going with your generous donations, and we'd love to have you join us for the live Patreon show, Radios in the Dark. For $25 a month, you become a producer, an executive producer, that's your title, and you'll get a sticker, a shirt of your choice from our merch store, and a weekly shout-out on the show, plus the aforementioned opportunity to sit in with us while we record the live Patreon show. So without any further ado, let's thank our most recent additions to the producer column. Pat Squatch Talk Turner, and I will give you a plug for your podcast, Squatch Talk, Pat Turner. Scott Augustine. We also have Mike Walker, John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D., Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, and Brian and DJ Chelsea Smith. So thank you guys very much for supporting us. Hey, remember to like, rate, and review us on Spotify, please. And as always, remember to subscribe to our YouTube page if you're not, you know, a viewer. If you like viewing, hey, comment, chat, please get it going, get engaged, fight with people, call us names, make fun of Tim. That's me. You know, hey, don't make fun of Lizzie because she's a fragile woman.
Oh, you can make fun of me. Like, okay, you can make fun of give it to me. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Just have at it.
Likes and subscribe, all the things that podcasts ask you to do, we're asking you to do as well. So unless there's anything else, please remember to keep it canon.
Keep it canon.
Please say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in